However, this was simply the way it had to be. "No pain, no gain," I told him with a wink.
"While I understand it, I don't like it," Nikolai ground out. "You're my mate.
Today, I'm your co-leader and a deadly killing machine. I'm very adept at what I do. Tonight, I will be your mate. Are we clear?" I asked.
"We are,"
he said with a hiss of angry frustration.
"Cows, please move now. As soon as you're in position, Lenny and Dima will fly over and cover the area.
The guards on the ground will be alerted to our presence when Lenny and I are in the air. As soon as we're out of your sight line, you shoot," I told the cows.
"Roger that,"
Pat said, hopping around with barely contained excitement.
"We've waited many years for this day. Thousands of my people, including our mama and daddy, will be smiling down from heaven," she said reverently. "We thank you for having us."
"Who in the hell would have thunk the same species that destroyed us would be our partners in killing the mother humper who started the hate?"
Francis said, verbalizing the bizarre irony of our pairing.
"We really are honored to fight alongside you crazy fire-breathing freak shows."
"No,"
Nikolai said as he knelt down on one knee to Pat and Francis.
"We are honored and blessed that you have come. United we stand. Divided we fall."
The cows gasped as every dragon went to their knee in respect for the unusual bovine shifters with the strange powers. The times were changing, and no matter what the outcome of today was, there would be no going back. The dragons had officially joined the were-race.
"Are we ready?"
Nikolai questioned the troops as the cows left and got into position in the tree line around the compound.
"We are,"
a chorus of voices called out.
"Then move,"
Nikolai shouted.
"Today, the king dies!"
The cheers were loud and my skin broke out in goosebumps. The day of reckoning had come. Quickly and silently, the units dispersed. Lenny took my hand and kissed my forehead.
"Come, child. We have work to do."
I nodded, shifted, and launched myself into the air with my grandfather. The magic welled inside me, and I marveled that I instinctively knew how to use it. I was a magical freak, just like Lenny. It was in my DNA, the good side of my DNA. The evil side was about to go down, and my dragon couldn't wait to make it happen. Today was a very good day. Chapter 24. As we soared over the compound, covering the area with the magical smoke, I glared down at the massive spired building below. It was a palace that could have come straight out of medieval times with gargoyles and a damn moat. Actually, it had. My father had the identical castle rebuilt many times over the centuries in different parts of the world. He was a creature of habit and tradition, and needed the trappings of the old world to keep his vice-like hold on the new one. It was somewhat of a miracle that the resistance ever came to be. We were a race of tradition and tyranny. Seldom did anyone challenge it. My admiration for my mate and our people was enormous. The bravery it took to challenge the monarchy even slightly was unheard of. What we were doing today would be mind-bogglingly impossible for most of our kind. But we weren't most of our kind.
"Dima, I have waited for you for centuries. You've given me the chance to come back here and do something that will change everything,"
Lenny said, bowing his huge head to me. Lenny's dragon was beautiful. His hide had flecks of gold that matched mine, but the majority of his body was a brilliant purple.
"We'll do it together,"
I huffed out, blowing pink fire with my words.
"You don't understand," he insisted. "This is the day I get my life back."
"We all do,"
I told him. Lenny looked at me with the eyes of a very old and wise dragon. I thought he was going to explain what he meant, but he just stared for a long moment and then bowed his head in submission. It was odd and uncomfortable. I didn't want my grandfather bowing to me like I was his superior, but we'd discuss that another time. Whatever Lenny wanted to say, he would say it when he was ready. He was Lenny the Cryptic, after all.
"Let's get back to the unit,"
I said in a puff of pink and silver smoke.
The area is sufficiently covered, and we have about 4 minutes. You lead. I'll follow.
My pleasure.
It's too quiet, I said as we entered the main doors with extreme caution. Something wasn't right. My stomach churned as I took in the ornate and overblown interior of the grand foyer. Marble floors inlaid with gold leaf shone just as I'd remembered. Tall, intricate ivory columns and a curved grand staircase were the focal points of this particular room. As a child, I'd slid down the banister until my rear end was raw. Granted, the castle I'd lived in all those centuries ago wasn't in Michigan, but its newest incarnation was the same in every way. The horrifying blasts from the cows had taken out every dragon on the outer perimeter, just as they'd promised. The stench of the explosion coupled with the burning flesh of the flame-engulfed dragons was something I hoped to never experience again.
Is anyone even here?
Seth asked as he and Elena expertly secured the rooms to our right.
He's here,
Lenny said as he and Nikolai secured the rooms on our left.
I feel him.
The war room is about 800 feet straight ahead. Follow me. Stay low and close to the walls, I instructed.
I'm calling in B and C, Nikolai said softly. I don't like this. Something is off.
I turned to check my unit and couldn't find Lenny. Where in the hell had he gone? He was desperate to get inside, and now he'd disappeared. Did Lenny decide to ditch us?
No, Nikolai said. He's gone after the Horde.
By himself? I hissed. I just found my grandfather. I wanted to keep the crazy old man.
He was imprisoned here for hundreds of years. He says he knows where he's going, Elena relayed with an angry headshake. He's been odd since we arrived.
Backup is in the building, Nikolai reported.
Tell them to move to the north side of the palace. There's another entrance into the war room from the library. I'm pretty sure there are skylights, I said as memories of old flooded my brain. Have Unit D fly to the roof and be ready to break through the glass.
Will do, Nikolai said as he closed his eyes and communicated through mind speak.
It was safer and more reliable than the chip, but... Lenny, can you hear me? I asked my palm.
Yes.
His clipped reply came back through the chip in my arm. What in the hell do you think you're doing? I hissed. The party is on the main floor.
I'm getting the Horde. I have to find it.
We're here to kill the king. I think his fucking Horde can wait, I growled.
You've been keeping company with your niece,
Lenny replied.
The hell are you talking about?
Your language, dear child. It's appalling.
Whatever, I snapped. We need you up here.
No, you don't. If he sees me, he will know I've come for his Horde. It will ruin everything. You're more than capable without me. Please, trust me.
I bit down hard on my lips to keep myself from ordering him back. As one of the commanders of the mission, I had every right to do so, and he would have no choice but to obey. However, my gut told me otherwise. He'd been in my father's presence more recently than I had, and if he thought the Horde was that damned important, I had to trust his judgment. I didn't want to, but I would.
Fine, I ground out. But find the Horde and get your ass back up here.
I'm going to give the go-ahead to the units as we enter the war room. We'll enter simultaneously from all sides and improv once we're in there,
Nikolai said with a bloodthirsty grin that I found wildly sexy.
Works for me, I said with my own grin that matched his perfectly.
My mate looked like the angel of death with so much lethal power rolling off of him it was frightening. Fate had led me to this man, and together we would change the direction of our kind. I clasped his hand in mine and felt the exchange of our dragon fire. I inhaled deeply as I absorbed some of his power and gave him some of my own. My body felt volcanic, and my dragon was so close to the surface it was painful. She danced a macabre rhythm inside my body. My need for blood and vengeance was all-consuming. I was at home in this state. I shook my head and realized no matter how much we might try, we would never fit into normal society. Even somewhat tamed, we were an innately violent race.
Now or never. Let's go, I said as my dragon begged to come out and play.
I tamped her down and moved with inhuman speed down the hallway. Nikolai was right next to me, and Elena and Seth brought up the rear.
Without any communication needed, we burst through the door in a blaze of fire, smoke, and untapped rage. Units B and C coordinated with us to perfection, as if we'd done this particular maneuver 1,000 times. D came crashing through the skylights with such a force, shards of sparkling glass flew like bullets all over the enormous room, ricocheting off the marble floor. And then everything just stopped. Every dragon in the room froze in confusion and looked to Nikolai and me for direction. There was no army to fight us. There were no weapons. There was no one at all to stop us from incinerating the man who sat on a gilded throne watching the scene with a small smile on his hideously handsome face.
"Very impressive,"
my father said flatly and clapped his hands as if he was bored to tears.
"I knew it was you,"
he continued calmly, tilting his head to the side and narrowing his eyes at me. He was a devastatingly striking man. However, he was smaller than I'd remembered. For the briefest second, I was overcome with terror, just as I'd always been as a child. But I was no longer a child. I was a grown woman. I was damaged, but I was still here. Holding my head high, I proudly stood next to the man who did love me. The odds were stacked heavily against my father. There were at least 75 dragons surrounding him and no way out. This was far too easy. It shouldn't be this simple. Had he given up? Had the loss of his fortune made him lose his mind?
"I'd always hoped the next time I saw you, you would be ash. Your skill at avoiding me for all these centuries has been stunning, Dima,"
he said in an icy tone as he gave me a condescending salute.
"But then again, you are my daughter."
"I stopped being your daughter the day you killed my family!"
I snarled as fire lit my fingertips and I took a step toward him. I put my hand up to halt the forward movement from the dragons. My father was mine, and I was going to have the pleasure of killing him myself.
"Ah, yes. The day you ran like a coward, leaving your mother and brothers to die."
He eyed me with mock pity as little tisking sounds fell from his lips. It made me want to wrap my hands around his throat and tear his head from his shoulders.
"Such a weak dragon, leaving your poor hacked-up family like that."
"I was just a child, you monster!"
I hissed, and I took several more steps forward. He was still a good 300 feet away, but close enough to kill.
"You've certainly become a lovely woman, so much tougher than I remember,"
he said as he stood and kicked aside the 4 emaciated, barely alive dragons at his feet. I hadn't even noticed them and couldn't make out if they were men or women. They were so far beyond repair, the most humane thing to do would be to kill them and put them out of their misery. My father was a sick fuck. I'd kill him first and then deal with the tragedy at his feet.
"Stronger, no thanks to you," I said.
"Touché,"
he replied with a hollow laugh. I stared at him hard as I tried like hell to decipher what the catch was. The simplicity of the scene was all wrong. It was too easy. I'd just wing it. There was no other option.
"You have 2 choices here,"
I told him with a smile on my lips and hatred lacing my words. "You can die quickly, or you can die slowly. Technically, you deserve no choice whatsoever considering the sins you committed, but I'm quite sure they have a special place in hell for people like you. Not to mention, I'm polite. Pick now, or I'll pick for you."
"Oh, Dima, 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 you amuse me so. Do you really think you can kill me?"
"Yes. Yes, I really think I can."
"Well, before we get to that gruesome part of our daddy-daughter visit, I'd like to let you know my terms."
Again, he kicked the filthy, pathetic people at his feet. I heard a faint feminine cry, and it chilled me to the bone.
"Your terms?"
Nikolai laughed with no humor in his voice.
"You will make no terms."
"I beg to disagree,"
my father said in such a mild tone the hair on my neck stood up.
"And you are Dima's mate."
My father clapped his hands, but this time with far more gusto.
"Welcome to the family. We're a delightful bunch. P.S.," he whispered. leaning forward as if he was letting us in on a secret.
I know exactly who you are, Nikolai. You'll be pleased to know your sister only screamed a little bit when we skinned her. Such a mess.
Nikolai's roar of pain bounced off the walls, and he dove for my father with a rage that was as magnificent as it was horrifying. Every dragon in the room went for the soulless king. Through the melee, my father's eyes never strayed from mine. He winked at me as all movement seemed to morph into slow motion. And then the shoe I was searching for dropped. With a careless wave of his hands, a circular wall of translucent fire dropped down around him, shielding him and the four dying dragons on the ground from the onslaught. All it took was a second for more than 40 of our dragons to burn to ash as they came into contact with a firewall. The scream that left my throat was animalistic as I searched frantically for Nikolai amidst the carnage. The relief that powered through me as I saw him yanking dragons back from the wall brought me to my knees. My father had once destroyed my world. There was no way in hell I would let him do it a second time. My vision narrowed with fury as I heard my father's laugh above the cries of agony for so many lost in a blink of an eye. The bastard possessed magic. It was impossible since he wasn't of the royal dragon line, but I suspected he'd tortured it out of my grandfather. However, my father didn't yet know the true meaning of torture. I just needed to get through the wall, and I would teach him. The only way to fight magic was with magic. I had no real clue what the hell I was going to do. I just knew I was going to do it.
Stop!
Lenny roared harshly as he entered the room in an enormous cloud of smoke.
Everyone stand back! No!
Is that you, Lenny? My father asked.
I had a feeling you would be here. I've missed you so much. It's wonderful of you to come back. The dungeon hasn't been the same without you. So many people scream when I play with them. It was so refreshing to have someone who could take it in such stoic silence.
I swallowed back the bile in my throat as I glared at the abomination who'd sired me. There was nothing about him that I could even call dragon. He was pure evil.
Let him make his terms,
Lenny yelled to the crowd. He wore a strange expression and appeared to have aged dramatically. I was so flabbergasted by Lenny's order to cave in to my father's demands that I didn't notice Maria, Seth, and Elena surround me. Maria touched my shoulder and helped me to my feet. I sagged forward into her arms with relief. At this point, I had no clear idea who'd perished, but was wildly grateful that my closest had been spared.
He is fucking insane,
Maria hissed as sparks of fire danced on her skin.
There's no way in hell we're related to that piece of shit.
Who, Lenny or the king? I asked.
Well, right now, both of them, she snarled.
Maria was correct. This was bullshit and wasn't going to happen.
There will be no terms,
I shouted over the din.
There will be terms,
Lenny contradicted me savagely.
She has the horde.
I was dumbfounded that while almost half of our army lay dead on the floor, Lenny was concerned with money or jewels, or whatever the hell my father had. Disgust didn't begin to cover how I felt. Lenny's selfish materialism was staggering. I clearly didn't know the man at all, and now I didn't want to. Nikolai caught my eye. He was shocked and confused as I was.
Ah, yes, the horde. I just knew they would come in handy someday.
My father sneered and grabbed two of the half-dead dragons by the hair in one hand, the second two in his other.
And today is the lucky day.
He held them high as if they weighed nothing. They did weigh next to nothing. They were completely skin and bones. My heart jumped to my throat as I imagined the unspeakable horror the dragons must have suffered. I'd seen many awful things in my life, but these poor people were up there with the worst. They'd clearly been treated like animals. My father's eyes lit up with maniacal excitement as he held their faces close to the deadly wall of fire.
Dima, darling, I'm surprised you haven't said hello to your mother and your brothers yet. I thought your manners were far better than that.
What? I asked in a small voice that seemed to be coming from very far away. What was he saying? They were dead. His games were so vicious. The half-dead dragon woman looked up at me and cried out raggedly,
Go, you must leave. He will kill you. Go.
Her voice sounded so familiar. I'd heard those words before. I tilted my head as my body began to shake violently. She was dead. She wasn't talking to me. That wasn't possible. A keening wail filled my ears and I wanted it to stop, but it wouldn't stop. I glanced around sharply to see who was making the awful noise, and I realized it was me. I tried to stop, but the sound kept coming. Why couldn't I stop? Maria dropped to the ground beside me and vomited. Lenny walked toward me, but his face was distorted. He looked so odd. I thought I heard Elena scream for Nikolai, but surely I was mistaken. The room was floating. I should probably leave. It was getting dark, and it would be time for dinner soon. My mother was a wonderful cook. I wondered if she would be upset if I brought my friends home with me. She never got mad. I pressed at my eyelids and tried to stop my eyes from moving so fast. It was hard to see when they kept rolling back in my head. Oh, thank goodness Nikolai was here. I wanted him to meet my brothers. They would like him. The feel of a large hand connecting to my cheek violently jerked me out of the hell I descended into. Nikolai stood over me. His eyes were wild with concern, and I knew he had pulled me back from the abyss. The burning sting was nothing compared to the pain of re-entering reality and having to absorb the horror of what was before my eyes. My father hadn't killed them. They were alive. Barely. And he'd kept them to use against me one day. I now understood my grandfather's obsession with the hoard. My mother and brothers were my father's hoard. Not because he loved them, but because he hated me. I would listen to his terms, and I would probably agree to them.
So here's how it's going to go, he purred as he dropped my precious broken family to the ground and clasped his blood-stained hands in front of him. You will restore my finances and my reputation. I don't care how you accomplish this, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. I was very impressed with how quickly you ruined me.
My voice was hoarse from wailing, so I nodded my assent.
You will alert the press that I was sabotaged by a group that goes by the Resistance. You will see to it that all of your names hit the press, every single last one of you. I will then give you a 24-hour head start, and I will methodically hunt each and every one of you down and kill you. He's fucking crazy,
Nikolai muttered under his breath. I couldn't have agreed more, but I had one last plan up my sleeve.
My mother and my brothers, you will give them to me or I won't agree to any of your terms,
I ground out through my raw throat.
These old things, he asked as he kicked my mother. You can have them. I don't want them anymore.
I was so consumed with hatred, I couldn't see straight, but I stayed outwardly calm. The bastard was about to win. Unless I could pull some massive magic out of my ass, I was helpless to do a damned thing about it. I knew he had no intention of releasing my mother and brothers. That did not work for me. Staring at him, I tried to remember if I ever loved the man. He continued to make more demands, but I could no longer hear him. It was fuzzy, but I think he might have held me once or twice as a child. What had happened for him to become such a monster? Or was he just born a monster? All I needed to do was pull up some magic. I watched his mouth continue to move, and I turned my focus into myself. Concentrating on his face, I drew on all the raw hatred I felt for him. It wasn't difficult. There was nothing in him to love. The magic refused me, no matter how hard I tried. My world had just gotten good after hundreds of years of sorrow and fear. He'd ruined my life by killing the ones I'd loved most, or so I'd thought. Was I seriously going to let him get away with it again? There would never be a moment of peace for any of the people I cared about. We would all be running for our lives for eternity. He would get his money and reputation back, and he would rebuild even stronger than he was before.
Unacceptable.
It was one thing for me to have lived hand to mouth for centuries. It was another thing altogether for that to happen to Nikolai, Lenny, and Maria. I loved them all. Me, who didn't even rediscover what love meant until I had my child. I loved Nikolai and Seth and Elena and Maria. I loved Lenny and Junior and Essie and Hank. I worshipped the ground Dwayne and Granny walked on and Daniel. I loved him more than life itself. And my mother and brothers, Sean, Timothy, and Matthew. The four people I thought were gone forever. I'd loved them desperately for almost 500 years. My heart sped up and something beautiful and unfamiliar coursed through my blood. Oh, my God. That was it. Magic wasn't based in hatred. It was rooted in love. Why did the hardest questions always have the simplest answers? I accept your terms, I said, cutting my father off mid-sentence.
I wasn't finished yet, he pouted. There's more.
My dragons were on edge and unsure what I was doing, but no one contradicted me. How long do I have to accomplish this? I asked. A heartless smile split my father's face, and he feigned deep thought.
A week. I'll give you a week. If it's not to my satisfaction, I'll behead your sweet mother and brothers and send you the footage. How does that sound?
It sounds fine, I said, looking for an opening to get at him. The firewall was an issue, but maybe not.
I hope to God you know what you're doing,
Nikolai hissed inside my mind. My eyes shot to Nikolai's and my mouth opened into a small O.
Can you hear me?
He asked, wary yet hopeful. I can. Are you mind speaking with me?
Apparently. Do you have a plan here, princess?
I do.
Wanna share?
No, but you could help me out if you would cause a distraction on the right side of the room, I said, getting more excited with each passing second.
Big one or little one?
He asked. Big. Very big.
Are you going to cross the firewall?
He demanded tersely as his eyes narrowed dangerously at me. In a roundabout way. Just please trust me and create a motherfucker of a diversion.
You've been hanging out with Maria too much,
he said as he turned his head to hide his grin from my father, who was still adding to his list of demands. This is true. I love you, Askanu.
Back at you, princess. On three?
I gave him a small nod. On three. Chapter 25.
This is bullshit!
Nikolai shouted as he strode purposefully across the large room, planted himself in the far right corner, and glared at me menacingly.
I'm in charge here, and I do not accept these ludicrous terms. Dima, I'd suggest you control your mate.
My father hissed with deranged glee, most likely hoping we would kill each other and save him some time.
Screw you!
I shouted at Nikolai as the dragons began to mutter in confusion. You are a lowly common dragon. I'm a princess. You will bow down to me, you stupid man. You're pathetic, and your dragon is an embarrassment.
Smoke began to waft around the room as the dragons tried to figure out which side they were supposed to be on. Only Lenny and Seth were calm and smiling.
You want to see an embarrassment?
Nikolai roared.
I'll show your spoiled princess ass embarrassment.
I held my breath and couldn't believe he was going to do it. When I'd said big, he'd taken me at my word.
I'll give you to the count of three to take back all you have said,
Nikolai growled and bared his teeth. I simply flipped him my middle finger. My father sat down on his throne to watch the impending violence play out. He was safe behind his firewall no matter what happened on our side. His smile was rapid, and his position could not have been better.
One...
Nikolai ground out through clenched teeth as small fires broke out all around him.
Two. three.
And then he did it. My glorious mate shifted into his big, beautiful, deadly dragon and completely blew out the palace wall. Brick, glass, and plaster crashed to the ground like a tornado had ripped through the building. It was magnificent and all kinds of perfect. It was the mother of all diversions. As Nikolai's dragon roared and sprayed fire, I closed my eyes and transported directly behind the throne. I traversed the magic firewall without walking through it. The pain was intense, but I'd made it through and come out in one piece. In the chaos, my movement went unnoticed. My ego wanted my father to see me before I ended him, but pride would be my downfall. It didn't matter if he ever knew. It was enough that I knew. With strength honed through my years of having to fight for my life, I clamped my hands around his throat and squeezed, gouging my fingers deeply into the arteries to halt the blood flow. It wouldn't kill him, but it would make what I was going to do far easier. I knew this macabre fact because I'd done it before. I prayed I would never have to do it again. The chaos and noise in the room seemed to disappear. My heartbeat thundered in my ears, and all I could see was the back of my father's head. All I could feel was the frantic pulse in his neck as he tried to pry my grip open. The movie of my family's brutal death replayed over and over like a broken reel that would never end. I saw a girl who resembled Nikolai and Seth being skinned alive, and I visualized all of the horrors Lenny had endured. Faces I didn't recognize joined the ones I did, and with sickening clarity, I understood that by touching my father, I could see his sins. Blood, terror, greed, and power bathed my mind, and the only thing I wanted to do was run. But I would never run again, and neither would anyone that I loved. The scream that left my body was horrifying, completely animalistic and straight from the darkest part of my soul. Using my feet to brace myself and the love I'd found to guide me, I did what I did best. I killed him. I jerked my father's head back over the jagged, ornate wooden carvings of his precious throne and twisted it with a violent, white-hot rage. With an ease that ashamed me, I tore his head from his shoulders. I let the bloody mess carelessly fall to the ground with a thud at my feet. The top half of him fell forward on his throne and slowly began to turn to ash. The king's decapitated body emitted small puffs of acrid black smoke as he disintegrated before my eyes, and the wall of fire splashed to the ground and dispersed with his last breath. I was finally free. I felt nothing. No joy at his death. No sadness. There was no regret. I searched my soul for guilt, and I found none. He'd been nothing to me for so long that his death, even at my own hands, was nothing as well. Maybe the adrenaline hadn't worn off. Maybe one day I would feel remorse, but somehow I didn't think so. An enormous velvety dragon nose gently pushed at my stiff body, and Nikolai huffed,
"You're done now, my love. It's time to go home."
I laid my head on his powerful body and ran my hands over his smooth, jet-black scales. This day would not have come without him and the others. My goal would have never been accomplished on my own. "We did it," I whispered as tears filled my eyes. "He's gone."
"You did it,"
Nikolai said as black and silver smoke wafted down and wrapped a warm cocoon around my exhausted body. "No, we did it," I stated firmly as I finally glanced out at what was left of our people. They had gone to their knees for me. It was humbling, and it was all wrong.
"No,"
I called out.
"Stand! We bow no more!"
But they didn't listen. They began to chant my name along with Nikolai's. I would tackle the prostrating problem later. Right now, there were four people I needed to touch. Easing down to the floor, I took the nearly lifeless body of my mother gently into my arms. Lenny ran forward, as did Elena, Seth, and Maria. "Hi, Mama," I whispered into her tangled and matted hair. Even through the years of degradation and filth, her delicate floral scent still remained. I breathed her in, and my soul calmed. She was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. My brothers were being lovingly attended to.
I would go to them next. I'm going to take care of you now. You will never have to live like an animal again, I promised her as tears rolled down my cheeks and splashed on her parched and cracking lips.
Dima,
she said so softly I wasn't sure she'd spoken.
My daughter.
Her smile was weak and her heartbeat even weaker. I glanced up as I heard a ruckus in the back of the room and saw the cows. All eight of them were primed and ready, top half dressed and bottom half naked. I couldn't believe I was capable of laughter after what I'd just done, but I was. Fate was kind and God was good. Only after Cade, who thankfully was still alive, explained what had gone down did the gals pull up their pants.
Well, I guess they are girls, Nikolai said with a grimace and chuckle.
He was back in his human form. He sat down beside me and wrapped his strong arms around both my mother and me.
And I think I need some eye bleach.
I told you, I said as I tried to bite back my laugh. The cows did not deserve our laughter. They'd been instrumental in our victory, but it was damn hard when they entered pantsless en masse.
My mother had fallen asleep in my arms with a contented smile on her lips, and I carefully brushed her hair from her gaunt face.
Nikolai, we have to take my family somewhere to heal. There's no way they can shift and fly. Should we drive? I'm worried about them being able to hold on if they fly on our backs.
My brothers were in as bad shape as my mother, if not worse. Maria cradled her father, Sean, in her arms and rocked him like a baby. Her tears flowed and her smile was blinding.
My name is Maria, she whispered as the broken man in her arms reached up and touched her beautiful face. I'm your daughter.
The guttural sound that came from my brother's lips went straight to my heart and pierced it with deadly accuracy. The thought of not knowing about Daniel or losing him was far more than I could ever endure. My anger welled up again as I thought of all the lost years that my brother could have protected and loved his daughter. I thought of the desolation I'd suffered and the fear I'd lived with for hundreds of years. How much I had mourned my family.
Little sparks burst out on my skin and I closed my eyes tight to rein in my fury.
It doesn't matter anymore,
Lenny said quietly as he knelt down beside me.
It's over. And we can't get the time back.
He caressed my sleeping mother's face lovingly.
Do not let him win in death as he won in life.
You knew he had them? I asked.
I suspected. But like you, I had to give up hope after a time.
He let his face fall to his hands and he sobbed. I touched my grandfather gently. He leaned into me and pressed his forehead to mine. My mother rested quietly between us.
You got your hoard back, I whispered.
No, my dear granddaughter. I already had my hoard.
You did? I asked, confused.
I did.
He nodded and kissed my cheek.
You, Daniel, and Maria are my hoard. There is nothing more precious to me in the world. Now my hoard is bigger, and that blessing my child is because of you.
Emotion clogged my throat, and I realized my hoard had grown as well. My hoard was now quite large and continued to increase. Luck had played no role in my life thus far, so I had to believe this was fate, and that she was smiling down on me with love.
You knew this would happen? I asked, still confused.
Seth had a vision and shared it with me when Nikolai rescued me all those years ago,
then he said. What was it? Was it specific?
Not to him, but it was to me.
I waited as my grandfather gathered himself.
Are you sure you want to hear it?
I don't know, do I? Today had been long and I wasn't sure if I could take any more revelations.
You do. After today, you are ready to hear it,
Lenny said as he held out his arms for my mother. He lifted her as carefully as if she was spun glass and pressed his shaking lips to her forehead. She was his daughter, and his love for her moved me back to tears.
The prophecy goes like this,
Seth said as he stood behind the quietly weeping Lenny.
I saw that one day Lenny would get his hoard back. It wasn't clear to me exactly what the hoard was, but I knew it was meant to be.
Is there more?
Tell her,
Lenny said as Seth hesitated.
Yes, tell her,
Nikolai said.
I want to hear this too.
I told him he had to wait for the true dragon queen,
Seth said and then paused. My gut clenched as I waited. I was pretty sure I didn't want to hear the rest of it.
And?
Nikolai prompted his brother.
Out with it.
Unfortunately, everyone was interested now, including the cows and the vamps. The mood was somber as they gathered our dead. They were all clear something rather large was about to go down. Seth cleared his throat and winked at me.
I knew the moment I saw you, Dima. I'd been searching for you for decades, he said. Knew what?
Nikolai was impatient now. Nothing new.
The true dragon queen will wear the mark of the royal dragon line. She will link the nations, and by her side will stand the most powerful dragon of them all. Together, they will lead us to prosperity and peace.
Seth finished with a smile, as all the dragons, and even the cows and their vamps, went to their knees and bowed their heads. Oh, shit. No.
You must have deciphered that one incorrectly, I insisted as I jumped to my feet in agitation. I didn't want to rule anyone, ever. Monarchies were antiquated bullshit. Look at what my father had done with it. My God, I had a preschooler and a mate, which was somewhat the same thing as far as care went. I didn't have time to rule a nation of violent freaks that were hated by every other were species alive. This was not in my future plans. I needed a damned vacation, not a list of responsibilities and a crown. Frantically, I glanced around the room and wanted to scream. They were nuts to want me. I was grossly underqualified. I'd been away from my people for centuries. And then I saw Pat, face on the floor and hand in the air. Do you have a question, Pat? I asked cautiously. I never knew what was going to come out of the cow's mouths.
I do,
she said, but it came out all muffled because she was still face-planted.
Can I rise, Your Majesty?
I rolled my eyes and wanted to punch something, but the sooner we got the questions over with, the sooner I could explain why this was not going to work for me, or them. Yes, I said reluctantly as I watched Nikolai grin at me like an idiot.
I'd just like to put something out there as a possibility, Pat said. We had a little powwow outside after we ripped the air sharts and off the guards.
Oh my God, this was going to be bad.
Since we don't actually have a population anymore, and we're all mated to dead guys that don't have little swimmers and can't reproduce, we were just thinking maybe we could become part of the dragons,
she said as she gave me an awkward bow, and then promptly face-planted back to the floor next to her sisters.
Sweet Jesus,
Nikolai muttered under his breath as he successfully bit back his laughter. Barely.
Okay, everybody get up. This is making me very uncomfortable having to think while all of your asses are in the air,
I said as I began to pace. Pat had a fine point. They had earned their way into our weir. Without them, this day might not have happened, or we could have lost more of our army than we had. Maybe I could make this one call, and then whoever was actually going to take the reins of this shit show would honor it.
I say yes,
I announced to the slightly alarmed but bemused dragons. The cows have shown their loyalty to us and risked their lives for us. If that doesn't earn them a place in our weir, I don't know what does. It took a minute or two of covertly exchanged glances and some quiet conversation, but once the cheering started, I couldn't even hear myself think. The cows were crying tears of joy, and the vampires flew around the room like mosquitoes on speed. Even the dragons were pleased. It felt good to do the right thing for my people.
Oh, shit.
Epilogue. Several months later.
Mommy, we're going to watch cartoons with my grandma,
Daniel announced as he raced from the kitchen in our new and way too big home. I'd agreed to the monstrosity only after Nikolai argued that we needed the room for my family to convalesce under our watchful eyes. I knew he just wanted the damn mansion. but his reasoning was sound as far as my mother and brothers went, so I let him win. I checked the clock on the wall and smoothed down my new sexy, not slutty dress. I'd passed on all the dresses in the box that Duane had sent over. Too much boob wasn't the best option for an outdoor picnic with friends and family. Everyone was due to arrive in 15 minutes, and I was so excited it was almost embarrassing. Glancing out of the bay window, I grinned as Maria entertained her uncles and father with a story that I was certain was full of profanity. Sean didn't mind his daughter's foul mouth one bit, saying she came by it naturally as her mother cursed like a sailor. It would take many years for my brothers and mother to heal, both mentally and physically. But with each day they made strides. The sheer will to live that had sustained them during their imprisonment and torture was a testament to how strong they were. Turned out Maria had spent as many years gathering up degrees as I had, and ironically, she was a doctor. She'd moved into the guest house on the estate and had taken on the medical care of the family. Of course, dragons were very different than humans, but Maria had adapted her skills to the chemistry of our kind. However, the truth of the matter was that it was simply going to take time. Their bodies could only regenerate themselves in small increments due to the abuse they'd received. Lenny, Elena, and Seth had moved near us as well, along with the dragons that were left and our honorary members, the cows. Life was never boring, and I'd never been happier.
"If we sneak into the pantry, we could have a quickie,"
Nikolai whispered in my ear, startling me out of my reflections. While the thought is truly tempting, Mr. Horny Dragon, 15 minutes is not enough time for a quickie with you, I said with a giggle as I pressed my lips to his. It tasted like heaven, and my inner dragon actually considered his lewd offer. Thankfully, my saner side won out. Getting busted in the pantry by guests was not my idea of a good time. I sighed and marveled that as huge as the house was, Nikolai's presence was even larger. My dragon was big and beautiful and mine.
"This is true," he boasted with a sly grin. "I'm kind of a 3-hour guy."
I rolled my eyes and punched him in the arm. "Do you think we have enough food?" I'd bought out the grocery store's meat department, and everyone was bringing a dish, but I was still worried. I'd never hosted a party in my life. I was a little ill thinking of everything that could go wrong.
"We have enough," Nikolai said with a chuckle and a shake of his head. "We have enough food to feed the entire state, and then some. Stop worrying."
"I'm not," I lied. "It's just that the wolves eat."
"And the dragons don't,"
he asked with a bemused expression. "Shit," I muttered as I yanked open the refrigerator and ransacked it for other things to serve.
"Dima,"
Nikolai said as he closed the fridge, lifted me up, and plopped my butt on the granite countertop.
"Relax. These are friends coming tonight. We could feed them peanut butter and jelly, and it would be fine."
"No, it wouldn't," I shot back appalled, imagining offering Junior or Hank a PB&J.
"Okay, you're right. It wouldn't,"
he agreed with a laugh.
"But as I've already pointed out, we could feed an army. We've got this handled. I promise."
"Swear?" I asked as I leaned into him and wrapped my arms around his warm body.
"I swear."
"So you think you're gonna like living in Hung, Georgia?"
Granny asked Elena as I sat on the porch and enjoyed the moonshine Granny had brought. My mother sat quietly with them and smiled. She and Elena had resumed their close friendship with childlike wonder. It was beautiful and gave both of them a new strength and purpose. Granny had now joined their club as well.
"I do believe I will, Bobby Sue," Elena said with a smile as she clinked her glass with Granny.
"Well, we sure enjoy having you fire breathers here. Shakes it up and keeps it interesting," she said with a cackle.
Interesting was correct, and a slight understatement. It had taken weeks of negotiation with the council and the shifters of Hung to get everyone on board with having a weir live in tandem with other species. I'd spent a solid 10 days in Chicago with Nikolai, Essie, and Hank, working a deal with the National Council to let dragons have a seat on the board. It was drawn out and tedious, but worth it in the end. Seth was going to be the representative of our people to the council. After about a month of being hounded by my people from all over the world, I'd caved and agreed to be the Dragon Queen. The first thing I did was forbid bowing and made it very clear that I would never wear a crown. Some of the old-school dragons were displeased with my lack of decorum, but eventually came around. Even the dragons that had blindly followed my father were slowly beginning to accept my rule. Elena had been correct. Dragons were steeped in tradition and needed the monarchy to survive. I'd been challenged a number of times by those still loyal to the very dead king, and had taken my challengers down with ease. This was a sad necessity with our kind. Some would never get past the might-makes-right way of living. Nikolai was never happy when I took on an angry dragon, but he was wildly impressed every time I kicked their ass, which in turn led to mind-altering sex. Violence was hot to a dragon. We could dress up and play nice, but at the end of the day, we were the race that needed to blow off some steam with a little friendly bloodshed.
"The party rocks," Essie said as she grabbed me and hugged me hard. "I have a proposition for you, dragon."
"Should I be terrified?" I inquired with a smirk. Essie was everything I'd ever dreamt a best friend could be. Loyal, fierce, and always ready to get into trouble. Sandy was awesome as well, and I'd grown close to some of our dragons. My life had changed so dramatically in the last few months it made my head spin.
"No, you should not."
Essie laughed and then pulled me to a quiet spot over by the swing set.
"I'd like you to be a bridesmaid at my wedding. What do you say?"
I was stunned, speechless. She wanted me to be part of the most important day of her life. I grabbed her arm because I thought my knees might give out. I could fry a dragon without blinking, but this was something different.
"Dude, you totally don't have to," Essie said as she held me up. "I just thought..."
"Yes," I shouted as both of us winced at my volume. "I mean, yes, I would be honored."
"Good," she said with a grin. "However, just a heads up. Dwayne is picking up the dresses. Be prepared to be exposing some boob."
I rolled my eyes and scanned the yard until I found the vampire in question. Dwayne was holding court and doing his share impressions for a group of confused dragons and his daughters, the cows. Dwayne was still livid that his girls had eloped with their vampire lovers, but planning Essie's wedding had taken away some of the sting. The vampires were on all fours being ridden like horses by the 4-year-old shifter posse. Daniel had both the vamps and the cows wrapped around his chubby little fingers. The visual I was looking at was all kinds of strange and all kinds of wonderful. Daniel was going to nursery school with other shifters his age. His happiness at having friends made me feel guilty about how sheltered his life had been, but Nikolai would hear none of it. He insisted repeatedly that the reason Daniel was alive was because I'd kept him hidden. He was able to go to school now because I'd been such a good mother. The first day was a little rough as Daniel accidentally burnt the snack room to the ground in a blast of excited fire, but no one was hurt, and the teachers assured me that things like that happened all the time. I didn't quite believe them, but was grateful that my boy was allowed to come back. I checked on my brothers. They were sitting quietly enjoying the fun. Seth sat with them and pointed out who was who. They still didn't speak much, but I knew from their smiles they were enjoying themselves. At night, I often slipped into my mother's and brother's rooms and sang them the same lullabies that my mother had sung to us as children. It still broke my heart to see them as weak as they were, but having them back was a blessing I couldn't even describe. Maria sat close to Sean with her head on his shoulder. She was rarely far from her father, and that seemed to suit them both fine.
"I still can't get over it," Junior said as he walked over and trapped me in a bear hug.
"Can't get over what?" I asked.
"That,"
he said as he pointed to where Lenny was talking with a beautiful couple who didn't seem quite comfortable in their skin. Junior, in all of his clumsy Mensa brilliance, had correctly guessed that my father had somehow used Lenny's magic to trap the wolves in their shifted forms. He deduced that the only way to reverse it was for Lenny to undo the spell. Lenny had been more than game, and the end result was the beautiful couple, who were still trying to get used to standing on 2 legs instead of 4. Not only had he reversed the spell on Essie's parents, but for the rest of the feral pack as well. Granny had no words to be able to adequately thank Lenny. Every time she tried, she sobbed like a baby. Instead of using words, Granny decided that actions would speak louder. From what I'd heard, Lenny had been receiving daily gifts of moonshine, fried chicken, and apple pie. Essie just hugged Lenny until he couldn't breathe whenever she saw him. It was a win-win-win-win. "How's it going with Sandy?" I asked Junior as I pulled him to the kitchen to help me bring out the food.
"I reckon I'm about 2 3/4 dates away from getting in her pants,"
he informed me cockily.
"Really?"
I asked with a laugh.
"Yep," he said. "That chick digs me."
"Actually," Sandy said as she popped her head into the kitchen as Junior flattened himself against the refrigerator and screamed like a little girl, "you just added 22 1/2 more dates onto your docket before you get anywhere near my pants, little mister." She narrowed her eyes at Junior, who dropped his head into his hands and moaned, and then she winked at me, grinned, and left. Junior was going to win. It was just going to take a little while.
"Shit," Junior whispered. "That's the 5th time this week she's busted me talking about getting into her pants."
"And what have you learned from this episode?" I asked him with raised brows and my stern mom look.
"I've learned I have to check the area next time I'm going to talk about getting lucky with my girl," he said with a grin. "I ain't no idiot."
"Debatable," I muttered, and I loaded him down with a huge platter. "Take this out to the table and don't get in any trouble."
"Yes, ma'am,"
he said as he walked out of the kitchen whistling.
"Get your little dragon ass out here. There's a party going on and it's not in the kitchen."
"I'm coming," I promised as I gathered up the remaining food and made my way back outside. I swung the porch door open and stopped dead in my tracks. My eyes filled with tears and I almost dropped the enormous tray of food I was carrying. Thankfully, Essie was there to save the day, or dinner, as it were. In my front yard, all of my friends and family were huddled in a large group. In the front was Nikolai, grinning like a little kid and holding a birthday cake with more candles on it than I'd ever seen in my life. It defied logic, and I was sure he was going to set his hair on fire.
"I love you, baby,"
Nikolai shouted as Daniel jumped around like a little monkey at his feet.
"Happy birthday." I couldn't fit 500 candles on the damn cake, so Daniel and I just shoved in as many as we could fit.
The cheers were loud, and my tears ran like a faucet from my eyes. I didn't have the heart to tell him my birthday was actually next week, so I kept it to myself and decided from here on out that today's date was my new birthday. Forever. Through my tears, I gazed at the crazy bunch as they sang happy birthday, and I carefully approached the blazing birthday cake. I needed about 10 people to help me blow out the absurd amount of candles, but in the end, we succeeded.
"Did you make a wish?"
Nikolai asked as he handed off the cake to his mother and took me in his arms. "I did."
"You going to tell me what it is?"
he asked with a sexy, lopsided grin.
"Maybe I could make it come true."
"You already have," I whispered as I kissed my man. "You already have." It was the best birthday party I'd ever had. Actually, it was the first birthday party I'd ever had, and it was perfect. Happy birthday to me. 500 was going to be a very good year. I blew out the candles, but as I'd told Nikolai, I'd already gotten my wish. I had the family, the man, the child, the friends, and the house in Hung, Georgia. But most of all, I had love. Real love. Life was pretty damned perfect.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Nowhere to Run, written by Robin Peterman, performed by Abby Craden. Executive producers Ryan McGavin and Mike Charzik. Producer Neil Basic. Copyright 2016 by Robin Peterman. Production copyright 2017 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc. If you enjoyed this audiobook, be sure to get more books in the Shift Happens series today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.